The following pre-recorded program is sponsored by Tabes Tech, LLC. This is Pro Business Colorado with your host, Dave Tabor, on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor is a show about spirit, the spirit of opportunity created by people who could be successful anywhere and choose to start and grow businesses here in Colorado. Whether it's having a business meeting during a bike ride or the kind of collaboration that goes on here in Colorado, I get jazzed talking with dynamic people, with interesting businesses, and with subject matter experts who get that Colorado is special. All my guests are people who love Colorado, who inspire me, and who can inspire you to do business well and offer great ideas on this show to help us succeed. Today, I'll be joined by CEO Mark Butler of J.R. Butler, a company that engineers, builds, and installs glass windows and doors. And we could talk about glass, but this is really a story about building a company by building leaders. And J.R. Butler created, for example, the Elite Team to combat the leadership gap in our society. And each year, prior graduates select a few of the most promising employees to join them as Elite Team members. Other employees are part of the Veritas program, an intense leadership development program. And here in the studio with me, Felix Mestis is a graduate of that program and is joining us. Hey, thanks for being here with us, Felix.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
And I'm glad, Mark, you're here. Thanks for joining me.
It's exciting to be here.
You know, Felix on the website describes J.R. Butler's Veritas program as empowering him to create leaders around him and shape the future of the company. So I love the format of this show, guys, because I have time to dig in, and today's topic really needs that. Look, lots of business leaders talk about growing talent. Today's interview is way, way more than that. It's about a bold Colorado company with the courage and commitment to develop lifelong leaders in a world in which free gourmet lunches and bring your dog to work are often the tools used to attract talent. So I know this is a show that would cause you to be curious. You'd want to call in and you'd want to ask questions. Sign up for the newsletter for this show at proco360.com. That way you'll know who's coming on. You can ask questions of future guests and so forth. And be sure to check out the Pro Business Colorado podcast, today's show, and past shows featuring great leaders of great companies like Otterbox, Zeal Optics, Full Contact, PharmaJet, American Furniture Warehouse. All these great leaders have been on the show, and the podcast of this show will be available on Monday. Again, go to my website at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. And it's time to, I think, move forward welcoming J.R. Butler's Mark Butler, who's the CEO, and Felix Mestis, Director of Field Operations. Glad you guys could join me.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, very much. Thank you.
You're
welcome. It's
always
fun to get to share our story.
You know, and I'm looking forward to doing that. I want to start first with a quick overview of the business, bit of the history. Mark, I'll turn to you to tell us about J.R. Butler.
Perfect. Well, our story is a really fun story. I was a real dyslexic kid. I got real good grades because I went to a school, actually the Logan School here locally, that allowed me to do all my reading on tape. So I joined the Library of the Blind when I was 8 years old. And listened to all my algebra books and everything else from volunteers that read to me, basically.
Wow.
But college, when I applied to college, it really wasn't an option. So I was 18 years old and a little bit lost, and I went to my dad, who was vice president, general manager of our competitor, and I said, hey, Dad, let's start a company. And so J.R. Butler started in 1993, my mom, my dad, and I. I had about $5,000. My parents had about $10,000. So we put our money together, and away we went. We subleased a little office in downtown Denver at 6 and I-25. It was 400 square feet, and we called it the bumping butts office because you couldn't pass without rubbing your butt.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing we were family. And just a great story in terms of growth, right? We started out with next to nothing. We subleased that office. Within 5 years, I bought the building, and you know we were growing and off to the races. That always sounds good, but it's always a little bit harder in practice.
I remember when I started my own company, it was in, well, now is Kitty Corner to what people know as the Sushi Den. It was Kitty Corner. I was in what's called a garden level, but it was just a concrete box with holes in the wall.
Right,
where
you
they,
mean the
you know,
basement.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't have windows in our 400 square feet. It was in the back.
And yet you were selling window products.
That's right.
So
that's
a bit ironic. So if you've just joined us, I'm speaking with CEO Mark Butler of J.R. Butler about building a company by building leaders. We're joined as well by Felix Mestis, Director of Field Operations. And talk a bit more, Mark, about what J.R. Butler does now.
Perfect. Well, the way to think about it is we're sort of one-third engineering company, one-part manufacturing company, and a construction company. What we do is we design, engineer, manufacture, and install the glass skins of big monumental buildings. So a lot of the new Denver skyline is work that we've done, the new Charles Schwab project. Big glass boxes is what we really do. We do that very well. Unlike a lot of our competitors, we start very early on the design side. So we're very involved and intricate with the looks of the building, the performance of the building, all the design. So we go from stem all the way to stern.
Yeah. So from a, I guess, curiosity standpoint, as architects are trying to create these iconic buildings and so forth, do they tend to reach out to you? Because glass is such a, an outstanding feature of the building. Do they tend to work with you to say, what do we do to make this thing really
look That's exactly beautiful? Right. Yeah. So architects are generalists, if you will, and they're amazing artists, but they're not great at super fine detail, right? Nor should they be. It's almost impossible to think about a doctor, right? You'd never go see a generalist to do brain surgery. So the same thing for an architect. So we're kind of a specialist. We understand the glass and the glazing, how that interacts with the people that are inside the building, the mechanical systems, all the things that are going on with the glass. The architect understands how to make it look great. So he's one of our three customers. Architect is a customer, the general contractor is a customer, and the owner, the end user, is our ultimate customer and who we really serve.
Got it. And as your business has evolved, how have demands around energy conservation and all that kind of stuff come into play as you develop products for your customers?
You know, if you think about Moore's Law, technology is going to double every 7 years, we're basically on that track. So the complexity of a project when I started in 1993, we were just starting to use low-E coatings in Colorado. Today, it would be unthinkable to do any kind of project without a low-E coating, to say the least. And the complexity has quadrupled over that time.
Wow. So now
it's pretty sophisticated.
That gives us a good overview of the business. Let me just rephrase that. An inadequate overview of the business, but really what I want to talk about is this whole notion of leadership development. And on your website, there are only three tabs. One is projects. One is leadership development, and another is services. Mm-hmm. And I do want to, we've got a little less than a minute here in this segment. I want to talk mostly really about this leadership development. What's your philosophy, the quick background of your philosophy that's led you to where you are now?
Really, it's a longer look. I had to, as a dyslexic kid that had to learn a little bit differently, I've had to do things different my whole life. And I've developed a passion for listening to books. And through that, I've learned to grow quite a bit and grow quite a great company. And so if I can do that, I truly believe anybody can do that, and it's worth investing.
We're going to talk about that philosophy when we come back on Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. This whole notion of growing, building a great company by building great leaders, that's something that I think about when I think about J.R. Butler. And we're going to talk a lot about that on Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor after this.
News Talk 710, KNUS.
You want to relax. You want to feel fabulous. Reduce stress. Pamper yourself. Detoxify your body. You want to visit Me Spa in Belmar Shopping Center. Find out what the ultimate pampering experience feels like. And what better way than to do it for half price? For a limited time, our chief bargain hunter is featuring a $100 gift certificate for just $50. And the only place you'll find it is on DenverHalfPrice.com. Or just click the bargain hunter link on 710KNUS.com or KRKS.com. And fellas, remember, every day is a great day to pamper that special lady in your life. Become the very best version of you by spending time relaxing and pampering yourself and unwind from that stressful work week at Me Spa. That's a $100 certificate for just $50, folks, and you can find it only at DenverHalfPrice.com. It's the Bargain Hunter Special. For more, check out 710KNUS.com or KRKS.com and click the Bargain Hunter link.
Pro Business Colorado with me, Dave Tabor, is a show featuring world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose to be here in Colorado. Sign up at ProCo360.com for announcements of each week's guests, to suggest guests, and to find past shows featuring successful entrepreneurs and business experts, all whose souls are grounded here in Colorado. Again, that's ProCo360.com to sign up, ProCo360.com.
Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, Sunday mornings at 8 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
A CNN original series.
Stop doubting and believe.
An epic saga from the dawn of history.
Behold the man.
A miraculous journey that changed the world.
I will lay down my life for you.
Whoever lives by believing in me will never die.
The greatest story ever told.
I believe you are the Son of God.
Finding Jesus. New season Sundays at 9 Eastern and Pacific on CNN.
We now return to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. Today I'm speaking with CEO Mark Butler of J.R. Butler about building a company by building leaders. Felix Mestis, Director of Field Operations, is an example of one of those leaders built through the programs within J.R. Butler, and we'll be speaking with Felix soon. J.R. Butler is a great Colorado company with a commitment to develop leaders in a world in which, and I said this before and made it laugh, in a world in which free gourmet lunches and bring your dog to work are the tools to attract talent. So I want to thank our sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado, MicroStar Keg Logistics, and American Furniture Warehouse. Those three great Colorado companies support Colorado entrepreneurism, and I appreciate having them as sponsors of this show. Again, Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor is a show about entrepreneurs and experts who could be successful anywhere and choose to start and grow businesses here in Colorado. So on we go with J.R. Butler. And you make no bones about it. You believe that people are your greatest asset. And we hear that everywhere. Everybody says people are our greatest asset. Leadership development seems to be a key, though, for you. And it starts, you pointed out, with your internship program. Before you even do that, I want to tee it up. I want to tee up this question by playing clip 85. This is from a movie called Happiness with, I can't remember. Anyway, Pursuit of Happiness. Let's play clip 85. Thank you, Will Smith.
Chris, what would you say if a guy walked in for an interview without a shirt on and I hired him? What would you say?
He must have had on some really nice pants.
So, thank you. So the context around that clip is that when you hire people and you hire them as interns, and I know you're in a big hiring push right now, they don't all look and feel like leaders of tomorrow, do they? Felix, you're nodding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm privileged enough to be able to do a lot of the interviews and kind of be a gatekeeper for a lot of the employees we hire in the manufacturing plant in the field. And what the coolest part about that is you get to meet a lot of people and hear their stories about being out in the industry and meeting with other companies and that sort of stuff. And certainly the look that I think I have here, and I think is not a traditional one, you see in leadership positions. And that's kind of the cool part, I think, about our industry. And that's something that I think we're kind of doing ourselves a disservice in the industries by not looking at certain places like that or judging somebody too quickly or kind of the book by its cover, that sort of stuff.
This is radio, and you just said the way you look. Mm-hmm. So share with our listeners, what did you mean by that?
Well, I'm ridiculously handsome, I think, is the first thing. So I'll share that with everybody out there. But the look that I have, I have a certain image. I have a lot of tattoos in very conspicuous places, I think, is probably the best way to put it.
And Mark, Felix is your director of field operations, right? This is probably a good point to talk about how you get employees as interns.
Well, so we'll talk about that. So the internship program is really the start of our leadership. And what happened was it's a great story of failure, really. As I set the vision forward of the type of glass and glazing company we were going to be, which was world class, someone that's second to none in an international market, I did what anybody would do. I went to the Denver market and I hired people from my competitors. And guess what? They failed miserably, right? They didn't understand the vision. They didn't know who we were going to be. They had come from too small of a market. They weren't thinking big enough. So I fired a lot of people, unfortunately. And what I did is I went to three companies I think the world of, and I have a lot of respect. And I said, okay, I'm not doing people very well. What am I doing wrong? How do you do people? And what I discovered was they built a lot of their people. So in 1998, our internship program was born. Matt Calkins was our very first intern. He's my business partner and the second largest owner of J.R. Butler today. And we recruit from about 16 different engineering schools. We recruit mechanical, structural, architectural, civil, and petroleum engineers, believe it or not. An engineer has to have a 3.6 grade point average or higher to enter into our program. We like to recruit from the Bible Belt. So we want kids that grew up on a farm that know how to fix something with baling twine or duct tape. Because at the end of the day, one thing that Butler's really proud of is we make things. We take nothing and we have ideas and we create things. So we want folks that want to make things and know how to build things. The interns come in the summer. We usually get them in their junior year, and they spend a month at our manufacturing facility. They spend a month in our office, and they spend a month in the field. And the joke is with Felix and I, the field is where interns go to die. Because when one of Felix's superintendents says, son, I want you to cut these crates up and throw them in the dumpster, and the kid looks back and says, I have a 3.6 grade point average in mechanical engineering. We smile back and say, that's great. You should be able to think of a really smart way to cut up those crates and put them in the dumpster, right? So the internship program is really the backbone of how we get folks, right? And we start them young. When they come in, they're going to start their tour of duty. We want foundational employees that will retire with our company. We know that they'll have multiple careers over that time. So we'll start their first career. They'll spend a year sort of wandering within J.R. Butler to find out where they want to kick off their first tour of duty. And that's a commitment between the employee and between us for a couple of years.
Well, let me ask you this notion of talent. And by the way, if you've just joined me, this is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, and I'm speaking with Mark Butler, CEO of J.R. Butler, and with Felix Mestis, the Director of Field Operations. And one thing that crossed my mind is you're hiring everybody as a title of intern. And these young people are engineering students that don't expect to be called intern anymore, nor do they expect to be paid as interns. So how do you approach both of those subject areas?
Well, at first it starts out they're in school as interns. So it's a paid internship and they're actually in school. Then when they get hired, they'll have a title. It could be various titles. We're not a real big company on titles. Org charts tend to be things that people see as a ladder to climb, and we don't have a ladder of climb. We have customers to serve. And so everybody works in a role, an operational role. So they'll be assigned a role, and that intern label will come off as soon as they're hired full time.
Got it. Well, it sort of comes off because on your website, you still list, for example, Matt, who's your partner, as your number one intern. Right. He still has this intern title. Sure. Right?
So that's a great connection you've made there. And the idea behind that is that everyone understands that, gosh, you can start out as a young college intern, 21 years old, and 10 years later be an owner. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's nothing that we won't help you do if you're willing to do the work. If you're willing to grow, we'll invest in you.
Do you pay your engineering students comparable wages if they went to a typical, say, HVAC company to be an engineer?
Probably a little better.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So the notion of starting and being asked to do anything it takes, that doesn't change the fact that you're competitive in what you pay.
Absolutely. We're capitalists. We believe in fair pay for fair work. We like to pay people what they're worth.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, not everyone starts the internship program as an engineer, right, Felix? I mean, you've got people who you're hiring to do installation, to do manufacturing and so forth. That's a different kind of person.
It is a different kind of person. What we found, though, over the past few years is that the model that we use for the interns is pretty successful, and it's really smart. And so what we've done is folks that we'll hire outside of the internship program, it makes a lot of sense to run them through that same intern path that we've been calling it the tour of duty at J.R. Butler. And what it gives them is exposure to all of those different areas, working in the plant and seeing what the products are like. And, you know, you could find some people in some pretty high-level positions that have served in those different areas by putting things together or working in the field and solving some of those problems. So even though they're not starting in the intern path, they're definitely doing the same type of work, which is pretty successful.
We want everybody at J.R. Butler, every single employee, to remember that we build things.
Yeah.
And this is a tough lesson we learned kind of the hard way, actually. Mm-hmm. So our accountants and our HR people and anybody that works in a role you wouldn't traditionally think, they'll do a tour of duty out on the shop floor and they'll go to the field and install things.
Really? How much do they actually do? If they're an accountant, do they just like go and spend a day, kind of like bring your accountant to work day,
or probably
are they
more
actually,
like a month?
Really?
All right. Yeah.
So they really do get their hands dirty and try things, and that way
they can serve, because all of those duties are actually just to serve those folks that are actually doing the work that we get paid to do, right? And so they need to know how to serve those folks, and the best way to know how to do that is to go walk a mile in their shoes, right?
That sounds so old-fashioned.
Funny how those principles work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Felix, what was your life like before you joined J.R. Butler, became, you know, sort of worked your way through it? Tell us about your background.
I grew up in North Denver, and I was really young when I joined J.R. Butler, so my life there was, you know, pretty typical. I just graduated high school a few years prior to finding J.R. Butler. And I've been here for over a third of my life, so it's kind of hard to recall a lot of that sort of stuff. But I worked in a few different industries prior to getting into construction. One of them, well, the most of my experience was in like car dealerships and auto body and work with my hands and that kind of stuff. That was something that, always I enjoyed. And I had the privilege of meeting some good people who were working at Jair Butler. And my father-in-law actually was working. He still works for us also. And he introduced me to Mark, and I started working as a laborer in the field. And over the years, the most of my time has been in the field. Only until recently has it been office and that sort of stuff. But the most of it was spent as an installer and foreman, superintendent, running work, and kind of seeing that, arc through and kind of getting further along in that. You know, I started getting into really the people industry, which is a lot of what we're in, and seeing the guys that were being sent out and what the labor market looked like, and having a lot of questions for Mark of, hey, where are these people coming from? And, you know, what's going on? And the solution that we had was, well, you hire them. And so
that's how you that was your initial advancement. If you've just joined us, the voice you just heard is Felix Mestis of J.R. Butler, speaking with Mark Butler as well, CEO of J.R. Butler, a company that's built itself by building leaders. And what a great story. The one thought that goes through my mind is when I used the term kind of old-fashioned values a little earlier, is your business different from, say, high tech? Because there's so much going on in high tech where speed is the key. And you get a job, you got to hire a programmer who can do it, you know, and bang, 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 you better be ready to go and to grow. Do these principles in your mind work at other kinds of companies
of
that
course,
are under that?
100%. So what you need to have innovation and to have a rise of technology is you need employees that are motivated, and you need them to know that they've got a home and that you care more about them than you do about, you know, simple profits or simple easy goals that are for tomorrow. And so the principles that we talk about would work amazingly in any kind of company, especially a fast moving company. Toyota is one of Butler's partners. And so we're one of very few companies lucky enough to be coached directly by Toyota. And I'll never forget when their engineers came in to do their first review of Butler. They went to dinner the first night together and they came back and they said, you know what we figured out? We figured out that you guys do 12 new rollouts every year. And we said, what do you mean? What's a rollout? They said, well, when you design a new car, that's a rollout. And you make 12 new rollouts a year because every building you design is from the ground up. It's brand new. So think about how much innovation goes into a new car or a new building, right? Then they came back the next day and they said, you know what we really figured out? If you're capable of doing 12 new rollouts a year, you're really an engineering firm that happens to own a manufacturing company and a construction company. So we are on the cutting edge of technology. You talk about moving fast. We're moving at the speed of light, developing 12 new products every year. And the only way you can do that is by having employees that are totally committed. And the only way you can have employees that are totally committed is to be totally committed to them. And it works perfectly.
Yeah. You know, it's I hear what you're saying, and I still have this sticky wicket in my mind about this notion that, like, do you have friends that run high-tech companies?
Yes.
And what do they tell you in response to what you describe as the way you run the human aspects of your business?
They're totally inspired and kind of in awe. And I think, you know, one of my favorite books in the world is Covey's Seven Habits, right? Quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three, and quadrant four. I'll take 2 seconds on that. Quadrant one is important and urgent. So if the building was on fire, that's a quadrant one activity.
Well, all right, we're going to have to continue this conversation when we come back, because I want to know how that is going to tie back into the friends of yours who run high-tech companies. And
no
I want to know why, if they're inspired, they aren't doing it. This is Pro Business Colorado, because not very many companies are doing
it. It's
right.
Very hard.
I want to talk about that on Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor after this.
CBS News Update. The East Coast could be a mess this week.
Storm is developing from the Mid-Atlantic up into the New York City area, New England. We'll have a pretty big impact. Likely we'll see a lot of travel delays, a lot of school closings, at least for one day, and possibly for more than one day.
Forecaster Bob Orvik. A lot of snow expected, too, says AccuWeather's Courtney Spamer.
We're looking at a pretty wide swath of 6 to 12 inches across a lot of the East Coast.
Blowing snow.
Winds in excess of 35 miles an hour expected. Heavy falling snow, and visibility below a quarter of a mile.
WCBS meteorologist John Marshall. Blizzard watch for coastal regions, including New York City and Boston, Monday night into Tuesday. A winter storm watch for an area that includes much of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, upstate New York, and New England. Now remember, this was an area that just last week saw temperatures in the 60s. Short-leaf shirts. are giving way to parkas. CBS News Update, I'm Mike Sugarman.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. Have a great weekend. See you back here Monday morning, 5 a.m., first place to talk in the city. Steve Mudflap McGrew. If you listen to KYGO for years in the morning, he was the country giant. He's got a hit out on his own right now, but he's a hilarious guy. He'll be with us. I'll see you Monday with Mudflap. Tell a friend, 710 KNUS.
Peter Boyles, weekdays from 5 to 9 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
This is Jeff Hunt, director of the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University, with an important message about marijuana. A recent study by the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area of the Office of National Drug Control Policy found that marijuana-related traffic deaths increased 62% from 71 to 115 persons after recreational marijuana was legalized in 2013. Today, Colorado youth rank number one in the nation for past month marijuana use, 74% higher than the national average. Emergency department rates likely related to marijuana increased 49% since Colorado legalized marijuana. The bottom line is that legalizing recreational marijuana has not been good for our state. Colorado families deserve better. To learn more about the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University, visit centennial.ccu.edu. You can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Jeff Hunt.
At the Colorado Association of Commerce and Industry, we're committed to Colorado. We believe that Colorado should be the place where forward-thinking business leaders choose to invest, innovate, and grow their businesses. And we champion for a positive business climate to drive prosperity for all those who want to work to achieve it. If you believe as we do and want to work side by side to help Colorado thrive, join us. We're the State Chamber of Commerce. Visit cochamber.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-400-2199. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call minicpap.com now. 1-800-400-2199. Again, that's 1-800-400-2199.
Now, back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. And today I'm speaking with CEO Mark Butler of J.R. Butler about building a company by building leaders. And as an example, Felix Mestis, who is the director of field operations, is joining us in the studio and are having a great conversation about this whole notion of building a business by building leaders. And we're going to come back to that in just a moment. I want to first thank our great sponsors, MicroStar Keg Logistics, American Furniture Warehouse, and Community Banks of Colorado. All of these companies have built their great high-integrity businesses here in Colorado. They're great supporters of Colorado entrepreneurs, and I appreciate having them as supporters of this show. I want to mention that next week I'll be joined by investor David Pritchard, who's introducing me and you to two Colorado entrepreneurs in the food business, Tico Tea, which makes small batches from scratch, and Impact Bars, high-quality natural bars for women. And we're going to be talking about starting and scaling a niche food products company. So please catch this show and those shows at, next week will be on just like this one, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 710 KNUS on Sundays. You can also catch the podcast at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. And go to that website, please, and sign up to and subscribe to the newsletter. Every week I offer an incentive for new subscribers. These are products that have been contributed, donated by my guests who want to encourage you to sign up This week, you can get a pair of passes to the Glenwood Springs Adventure Park and the Iron Mountain Hot Springs. So I hope you'll go there. Again, proco360.com to sign up. Let's get back to the conversation now with our friends from J.R. Butler. And my question right before we went out at the last hour was this notion that if building leaders works so well at driving success in a company, why in particular are high growth, high tech companies really struggling with that issue? And Mark, I asked you if you know people right in high tech, and you said yes, and that they are inspired by what you're doing, and then I cut you off.
Yeah.
So tell us, you know, why? What can high tech companies do if they're fast to sort of enjoy some of the benefits and do some of the things you're doing?
Well, I think first thing, it's for a CEO to understand, well, where do you get paid? And it would be really easy to think that that's outward, right? It's really easy to look outside of a company, to look at what is in your quadrant one, what is urgent and important right now.
And you were talking about Stephen Covey's book.
Correct. Exactly. So most folks run to that. So a new acquisition, a new merger, a new product launch, maybe new real estate acquisition, whatever that might be. Those are all sort of, you get rewarded by the world pretty quickly for those types of actions. CEOs look outward to do deals, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder to say, wait a minute, let's go to quadrant two, which is not urgent, but important. And let's figure out, where do we need to be in 5 years, 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years? And how do we go about doing that? And what you're going to be faced with every time you start to look at problems longer term is people. And if you've got the right people and you're motivating them the right way, they'll get you to the right products, the right release dates, the right deals. They'll all get done. Hmm. But you have to take the time initially. And most CEOs, and especially companies that have an excuse for running fast like high tech, right?
Yeah.
They get rewarded for looking outside, not in. And so it's a big discipline. We just grew 100% last year as a company. And you can imagine sort of what that looks like. It was chaotic and crazy. And we've committed all of 2017 to only looking inside.
Hmm.
So we won't be looking outside for new deals or acquisitions or companies we could acquire. We're simply going back to working on culture and working on who we are. So that's a tough thing to
Regrounding.
Do.
Regrounding.
It's
that's
also,
exactly right.
I've talked to quite a few people in the industry about the Elite program. And to Mark's point, everybody's in awe of it. They love it. And they certainly see the results of it working with J.R. Butler. And the hardest part for that, I think, people to really grasp is that it's a very long play. And that makes it kind of hard to adopt. Because you're not going to see the results of it in a month or 2 months or three, even 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a long time to
talk about the Elite program. One of you guys just
I'll start us out and kind of talk about it.
That's something that's really a key piece of your leadership development, and I'm glad you transitioned us to that, Felix. Go ahead, Mark.
So the Elite program came to be out of desperation, actually. So we're in an industry that a lot of politicians, you hear them talking about, right? Manufacturing jobs and construction jobs. The reason why politicians talk about those types of jobs is because they create ancillary jobs. Manufacturing and construction have the highest ancillary job creation of any jobs out there, right? So it makes sense. Let's go back. Let's make America great again, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. However, that being said, we have 24 open positions on our manufacturing floor right now. No one wants to do the work in our country, even though they're highly paid jobs. They're great jobs. We teach all of our kids that they got to work behind a computer and being a doctor and an architect or an attorney. So what we get left with is what's left over, sort of the dregs of society. So we did what came very naturally for many, many years. We complained a lot. And we finally began to look at the problem. And if you look at the problem, we didn't have a problem teaching a guy to install a window plumb level and square or to run a piece of equipment in our shop. We had a problem getting that guy to show up to work, making sure he wasn't an alcoholic, making sure he didn't get arrested on Friday night. They had life skill problems. So the Elite team was born out of necessity. The way it works is each superintendent gets a name up, five young men. So this year we took 36 applications to Elite.
Yeah, I think 38.
38. Okay. Yeah. And they have to write a essay as to why they want to be in the Elite program. Then they have to interview with the Elite Board of Governors.
And these are already employees.
These are employees. Got Usually a year or more.
Over a year. Yeah.
Got it. Hey, if you've just joined us, we're going to continue talking about the Elite program. I just want to let our listeners know they're listening to Mark Butler, CEO of J.R. Butler, and Felix Mestis, Director of Field Operations on Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. So continue. Let's talk some more about that.
Perfect. So out of those 38 applicants, five are selected. So we're not trying to train everybody in our company. We're trying to create leaders. So we pick five young men or women because we see good qualities in them. They get the chance to opt in or opt out of the program. It's not a condition of employment, and we don't pay them to go to this class, although it pays off big time in the end, right? Again, quadrant two. Once they've joined, they start into a 6-week-long leadership course, and we bring in a facilitator, and they read books like Good to Great, How to Win Friends and Influence People,
Seven Habits.
Cubby's Seven Habits.
Is this done on company time?
No, it's all their personal
time. So they've really got to have some skin in the game.
They really have to be committed. That's right. That's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
They do a paradigm map conflict resolution class. It's a really neat class. When they're done with that, Matt, my partner, and I, we take them for about 5 weeks, and we teach finance. The first thing we teach is not how to buy gold to hedge for inflation or short sale a stock, but we teach what is money? Where does it come from? Most of these folks don't have a good relationship with money, even though they're making, you know, north of $60,000, $70,000 a year. They don't understand what money is or where it comes from. So we teach what is money? Where does it come from? How does your 401k work? How do you buy a home? How does interest work? We read a great book by James Ricard this year, Death of Money, which is a fantastic read. And so they learned about inflation and interest. And then when they're done with that, my mom comes back out of retirement and she teaches a class called Macho Manners for Modern Men. And so
is this a class that she created herself?
It is. And the reason for the class is to help our elite members know that they can join the community, know that they can go to a charity or a big top or whatever I call charity.
I think that event that we actually met at was part of the elite class last year.
You know what's so interesting? And the program that Felix is talking about was done by the State Chamber of Commerce, and it was about being a more effective networker and how to conduct yourself in a public setting and so forth. And J.R. Butler had more people at that program than any other company. You had like six maybe really well-dressed.
Yeah.
Very appropriate people there, right?
Very well dressed. Yeah, they had actually just passed their last class on buying a suit. So they got a chance to use it.
It was great.
That's exactly what mom teaches. So you got to go to Men's Warehouse and you have to buy a sport coat and you have to buy a suit. You have to listen to NPR in the morning and Fox News in the evening and you have to learn how to chat. So they work on conversation skills and they have to cook a big fancy meal for my mom and they have to eat. And again, that's back to a 1,000-year vision. These men and women are an important part of the fabric of our company and more importantly, the fabric of our community. And they were afraid to take their seat at the table. So we literally afraid, like, what happens if I met the mayor? I'd be so nervous.
Were you like that, Felix, years ago before you went through this training?
Yeah, it was a huge transition. That's something that's back to the culture that we talk about at J.R. Butler. I think that surprises a lot of people is that it's very, very real. It's something that you can go one day turning wrenches on a job somewhere to the next day having dinner with the CEO of a large construction firm and being able to have those skills there that they're not necessarily taught anywhere else.
And you let your people who've come through these programs then sit at the table with
encourage them to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And oftentimes they do it without us.
Yeah.
They'll represent us without us being there because it's their community. So again, I just get to be what maybe CEO for 25 years and then I have to pass that torch on.
Yeah.
Well, in order to do that, I have to leave a really good group.
Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about developing leaders in your company and still this notion of why, if it feels so good, why aren't more people doing it? This is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. We'll be back after this.
News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hi, this is Dave Tabor for American Furniture Warehouse. I'm a big fan of AFW. I'm a fan because I've gotten to know them well, really well. Jake has built AFW to be a company all of us in Colorado can be proud of. He started it by buying out a dying little store and turned it into Colorado's largest family-owned company with thousands of employees and tens of thousands of customers. And guess what? He's done it the old-fashioned way by treating customers and employees right. I've seen how Jake operates. Once when a worker slipped in a wet shipping bay, Jake invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to install better weatherproofing collars around all the shipping doors so it wouldn't happen again. AFW has its own physical therapy center so that workers can stay healthy, and if someone does get hurt, he or she can be treated immediately by qualified professionals. AFW drivers are incentivized to deliver furniture on time and without damage, and when they do, they earn a lot more than typical drivers. All that and great products at low prices. AFW runs a tremendous business we can all be proud of. I hope you'll shop there as I do.
And now I will tell you about something medically that works. How was that for an intro? I'm about to say it because I never really thought I would. I took Relief Factor as the first pain reliever I would ever endorse because of how it worked for my wife and my colleague Hugh Hewitt. Well, now I can tell you that this thing is just short of some sort of miracle. See, I had an ongoing pain, not terrible, just a pain, and I simply assumed I would just live with it. Then I got some knee pain as a result of some of my workouts, so I decided I would take it for the knee pain, and now both are gone. That's why I think of this as sort of a miracle drug. ReliefFactor.com. All I ask is that you visit their website, and then you decide whether or not you try it out. Clearly, it can't help everybody. There is no such thing. But it certainly helps a lot of people, and now I can include me as one of them. So go to ReliefFactor.com.
We now return to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Welcome back for the last segment of Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. And today I've been speaking with CEO Mark Butler of J.R. Butler about building a company by building leaders. And I'm joined in the studio as well by Felix Mestis, Director of Field Operations, and a great example of just what a leader who's built through this program looks like, sounds like, and so forth. We're going to continue our conversation with these guys in just a minute. And I want to thank first our great sponsors, American Furniture Warehouse, MicroStar Keg Logistics, and Community Banks of Colorado. Those are great Colorado companies that support this show and support Colorado entrepreneurism. Let's do get back. We were talking about the Elite program and, mm-hmm. and how you're building leaders by really a very broad kind of training. Mark, you were talking about financial training, decorum training that your mother, you know, what is that course called again?
Her class? Macho Manners for Modern Men.
It's a great class, and who would not want to take that? Now,
they have a lot of fun.
Yeah, really and our you mentioned Modern Men. How what is it largely a male workforce? Or you're hiring? I'm sure you'd be hiring men or women now.
We hire either one, and we trained our first female through Elite, as tradition has it. Construction has usually been dominated by guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And our company's no longer that way, but the name is stuck. It's pretty old. So.
Yeah. Well, it's a catchy name. And one of the things that I noticed sitting here in the studio now with Felix is how articulate a guy you are. You've already told us that you're good looking.
Yeah.
So,
gonna hammer that one home.
Yeah. So one of the thoughts I had is as you develop leaders, from people who you'd mentioned, really many of them couldn't even get out of bed in time to come to work, and now they're leaders of your company. I have a question around mind shift, mindset changing and so forth. And to illustrate that, I want to play a clip from one of my favorite movies. I love movies. And this one's Remember the Titans. And if you'd play that clip, let's hear that, and then I want to ask you a question about it.
Fantastic. You know my policy, Gary.
Yes, I do. And I respect it, but I know that Ray missed that block on purpose. Sometimes you just got to cut a man loose.
Well, you're the captain. You make a decision, but you support your decision.
Ray?
You're out.
What?
I'm not going to let you play for this team anymore.
Boone don't cut anybody. Remember, Gary?
I had you cut, Ray.
So there we have it. We have a guy whose authority was fully transferred by the coach to the captain. And what's your take on that? I mean, are you actually able to do that in your business?
100%. And I think that's what makes J.R. Butler a great company. If you think about, if you have all these awesome employees that you put all this time into, one thing that they're going to demand back is opportunity, right? As they should. They're all ambitious and they want to grow. So how do you actually grow without decentralizing command? Which is exactly what we do. And in order to do that, back to quadrant two, you have to have people that you know you trust their values and you know they'll do the right thing. And so we spend all that time there on in the trust category, if you will, with folks that we've built. And so we know that we can hand them that authority and that they're going to do amazing things with it.
Are you hiring raw talent that shares your values, or are you actually... Felix, were you actually taught new values as part of this company?
That's a great question. I think a lot of the values that Mark and I share, and certainly a lot of the people at J.R. Butler share, are very similar. I think Elite, kind of going back to one of the points we talked about early on, Elite doesn't necessarily put things in people that isn't there. It really polishes what's there. And that puts the onus on us as the leaders in the company to really seek that out and do a lot of work finding that sort of stuff and refining it.
If somebody won't get out of bed, you know, on time to get to work.
Well, you really have to start asking why on those kind of things. And a lot of it, to Mark's point that he made earlier, is that a lot of those things, a lot of the decisions that people make, certainly within the company and after they've been hired, are made with what they think are the best intentions, or they're making the best decision with the information they have there. And so a lot of times what people, I think, certainly in the construction industry, mistake as bad habits and poor self-control and that kind of stuff is really just a misunderstanding or lack of information. So discipline, it goes back to having the discipline to kind of keep serving the mission of Jared Butler, the 1,000-year mission. And when you kind of start refining that and you chipping away a little bit, you find that a lot of the problems that keep people from getting to work on time, maybe it's like, oh, this guy doesn't make it to work a lot, and he has it's car problems. Well, he bought it at 21% interest, and you can't afford to get it fixed. And there's a lot of things that you keep asking why, and keep drilling down into those. And
so you're saying that really what I might have judged as a bad set of values isn't really that these core values, and at least the people that you found and developed, those core values are more similar to what I believe than I would have thought.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of good people out there, and it's, I think it'd be a miserable way to walk through it, assuming that everybody was working towards the bad and you know, working to kind of hurt the mission. I think a lot of people find themselves in tough circumstances because of decisions they made without good guidance, without good leadership. And I think that's more of certainly my history at J.R. Butler, is just having great guidance, great leadership, and really being given the why and not the how. If Mark had to come down and tell us how to do our job every single day and exactly what to do every minute of it, well, we'd never get anything done, and he would never get anything. He'd never advance and grow the business. But what he does is gives us the why, and we understand what J.R. Butler is working towards, which is serving that 1,000-year vision. And he knows that the decisions I make during the day and in my capacity at Butler are serving that. And the results are there. I mean, 100% growth.
And that has somewhat an evil dark side. So we've had a lot of employees that have come from big corporations where the corporation does the thinking for you. And what you really are is a minion that just does what you're told to do. Those people fail at J.R. Butler.
Yeah.
If you're not able to think independently and make decisions, and they might be wrong, and we all make mistakes, and the goal is to learn as fast as we can from those mistakes. But if you're not able to make those decisions and those calls, you'll never make it at Butler.
Right. Yeah, if you've just joined us, the voice you just heard was Mark Butler, who's the CEO of J.R. Butler. And before that, Felix Mestis, Director of Field Operations at J.R. Butler. And I want to move right along and talk a bit about your Veritas program. Let's talk about that briefly, because that's another level past Elite, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. So Veritas came to be actually the millennials, which I think are an amazing generation, and they get a hard rap. Although some of the things that the millennials face is that they're sort of the generation of everybody wins and moral relativism. And the school system that we have now, let's face it, has taught that. So the idea of Veritas is to help those future executives that will take the leadership torch really, truly understand values and really, truly understand their own paradigm. A great leader understands themselves perfectly. Mm-hmm. And then that way they can understand others. That program started out, Dave, and we thought it was going to be wearing togas and reading great books. And it turns out the millennials were too smart to read and actually change. So it became an experiential learning program to where we challenged those young folks that are in that group to see themselves through experience. And those challenges are pretty crazy.
So these are sort of the typical team building kinds of things. You know, you got to get over a wall together, or what are you talking about?
Well, so I'll give you one example So Veritas is somewhat of a secret society. We don't talk a whole lot about it, but I think it's fair to share one example. Every member receives about a month prior a black box with our logo on it. Inside is a book by Ayn Rand called Anthem and the video game Halo. They are told to learn to play Halo. Their brothers and sisters' lives may depend upon it, right? They show up, and we've set up everyone has a TV screen, and they've got their own little Halo character. I'm wearing a black shirt, and my partner Matt is wearing a white shirt. And we've broken them into two teams, and we tell them, okay, the goal, we're going to play Capture the Flag. We all understand the rules.
Yep.
The goal is to win. Now, Matt takes his team, and he coaches his team without ever giving a direct order. The entire time sort of, so let's say, Dave, you were there and you're not a great Halo player, right? So someone might say, Dave, just stand in the room next to the flag with a grenade, and someone throws in, blow yourself and them up, right? That's the best contribution you can make.
Yeah.
Matt would say, now guys, how's Dave going to feel if you win like that? Right? Now, the truth is that is the best contribution can make, but everyone kind of looks at their feet, right? And I coach my team to win. So we played 5 games and my team wins all 5, right? And between each game, Matt and I leave the room for about 3 minutes, and then we return. Then we switch, and I take Matt's team, and he takes my team. We have 15 minutes for him to ruin my team and 15 minutes for me to fix his team. And, of course, my team wins 5 more times. Mm. We sat them down in a conference room. We said, okay, so why'd we play the game? Now, the book they had read is Anthem, and it's all about a society without, it's very George Orwellian, about no I, a mm-hmm. society that there's right, no ego, right? Mm-hmm. So they all kind of laughed, and they said, well, clearly Mark was the I and Matt was the we, right? I said, okay, you're all really smart. We know that. We knew you'd figured that out, but why did we play the game? And at Butler, there's a concept called best idea wins. We love arguing. We love debate. It is a great thing. And if you can't tell the CEO that I'm an idiot within 2 or 3 days of being there, you don't belong. We don't want political folks that, you know, can't speak up for a good idea. And so we explained the reason why is that not one person challenged Matt at all. Hmm. No one said, hey, you're not helping here. The goal is to win, right? They all went along because he's in a position of authority. Mm-hmm. So that kind of gives you some sense on Veritas.
That's cool. That's a great story. I want to shift gears to more about how the implications of all this on your customers. And on, well, of course, you've already said you grew last year 100%. So there's something working there. There's a great line I like to read, Simon Sinek, and he says, customers will never love a company until employees love it first.
Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic quote.
What's your take on how your customers feel about J.R. Butler because of how you operate?
I believe our customers are simple. They want three things, and they deserve three things. They want it better, they want it cheaper, and they want it faster. And we have to be slave to providing that to our customers, better, cheaper, and faster. And by the way, cheaper doesn't always mean less cost. Sometimes it's faster to market or it's more innovative. There's a lot of different things we're trying to please in those customers. To your point, if our employees are enthused and excited and passionate and learning, right? We're an organization of folks that are learning at the speed of light. We read Simon's book, Felix and I were just talking about one out in the hallway. Mm-hmm. We read constantly, then we can bring better, cheaper, faster to our customers the most effective way.
Yeah. Now, if you've just joined us, this is Mark Butler of J.R. Butler, also with Felix Mestis of J.R. Butler. And do you think, are you saying your customers don't care to do business with you just because they're inspired by the way you run their business? Are you saying they really are focused on those three things? That's what they need?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I think our customers are really passionate about Butler, but we have to be cognizant of why. They love us because we're very competent. We do what we say we're going to do. We do things faster, and we know how to bring them stuff. So if we were to let them down in that contract in any mm-hmm. way, shape, or form, I wouldn't want our customers to just give us crazy loyalty because we have these neat programs or great people. The loyalty comes because we do what we say we're going to do.
Yeah. Right. Is that what you're feeling too out in the field with your teams?
Oh, yeah, Felix? Absolutely. I think to the point that the quote that you just read is a lot of our employees, I think that book is, or that quote is from Start With Why, and which is a fantastic book.
One of my favorites.
I think that's a huge thing at Butler is that a lot of our employees really understand that mission and they understand why we do what we do and why we're passionate about quality and delivering an amazing product. And I think our customers see that certainly on the field end of it and the manufacturing end of it. I know that they see that.
I think it's pretty interesting, one, that you encourage your teams to read.
We have a library.
And oh, that's great.
Yeah, a full English library.
Huge library, yeah.
So you encourage your teams to read. You talk about books with them. I mean, this is such a different style. And what I've heard today is that the outcome isn't a slower outcome based on its deliberate process, but it actually allows you to be faster, cheaper, better for your customers. And I'm going to have to wrap us up today. I've been speaking with CEO Mark Butler of J.R. Butler, a company that engineers, builds, and installs glass windows and doors and is hiring. So I want to make sure I'm aware of that for you guys. Also joined by one of their great success stories, Felix Mestis, Director of Field Operations. We so often hear about high-tech companies attracting talent with things like unlimited vacation time, open beer taps, and patio meetings. This interview has been a fascinating look at how a great Colorado company is developing lifelong leaders. Be sure to check out this show via podcast. That's proco360.com. Again, proco360.com. Have a great day.